And we are now live.
All right. So I'm Donald Norton. I will be convening the meeting of the Lane Transit District Board of Directors Ad Hoc Sustainability Committee for Wednesday, February 24th, 2021, and starting at 2 p.m. First, I'll call the roll, and we have Josh Schove.
I'm here.
He's present. And Stephen Yet is excused, and Don Norton is present. I guess I will leave any preliminary remarks from the chair at this meeting. Josh, did you want to add any items for action at this meeting?
I'm just going to say what we didn't spend time on in the board meeting last week that I neglected. We all sort of neglected. It's Black History Month, and I would just say there's some resources on LTD's website, and there's some amazing history of a bunch of African-American inventors and other people who have contributed to transit and transportation in interesting ways, and I'll leave it at that.
Thank you, Josh. I'll open it now to a public comment. Camille, could you manage this for us, please, if there's anyone who wants to participate or leave a comment for this meeting?
Absolutely. If anyone is wanting to provide public testimony, please use the raise your hand feature. I am showing Rob Sako. Rob, go ahead when you're ready. And just a reminder, you have 3 minutes.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, Rob, we can hear you.
Thank you, members of the Ad Hoc Sustainability Committee and staff. I just want to say publicly a short version of an email I sent earlier this week, not realizing there'd be an opportunity for public comment. So thank you for this. I'd say that BEST supports strongly LTD's climate action policy, and I quote, LTD recognizes the urgency in addressing climate change is committed to reducing community greenhouse gas emissions by taking steps to maximize public transit ridership and support low carbon active transportation modes. As I said in my email, LTD is doing great work in the first half of that statement of supporting low carbon active transportation, purchasing electric buses, more of that's happening. This is all great. We understand that there's a new FTA grant opportunity to purchase more buses, and BEST would be happy to support that. So thank you for all that good work. That said, Kelly, in your presentation before the pandemic on the greenhouse gas inventory, said there are really two main drivers of LTD's greenhouse gas emissions. The second being the fuels of buses themselves and the pollution that LTD generates, but the first being the primary one of ridership. And if we want to get the greenhouse gas emissions of our community down, we need to increase ridership. During the pandemic, that's a really hard lift, and BEST is not saying we need to do that now. We imagine that it could take a few years to stabilize ridership and come out of the pandemic. We certainly understand that. But as LTD looks to develop a 10-year strategic business plan, the strategy should be that the outcomes that LTD wants to support is significantly increased ridership, providing significantly increased service, and BEST will be looking forward to LTD moving in that direction, recognizing that the resources to do that may not yet be available, but the outcomes they're desired are increased ridership, and that charges all of us with the task of finding those resources to make that happen. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ron. Is there anyone else wishing to speak?
I am not showing anyone else.
All right, so we can approve the minutes from the last meeting. Are there any additions or corrections to those minutes?
I have none.
Seeing none, I'll approve them. I vote in favor of approving the minutes, and Josh approves them.
Me too.
But we'll go on. So I can just, I guess, turn this over to Kelly at this point, and appreciate your presentation.
Great. Let me go ahead and share my screen. All right, can everyone see that all right? Great. Yes. Well, thank you. Thank you all so much for allowing me to come back today and give a short presentation. My name is Kelly Hale, and I'm LTD's Sustainability Program Manager. And I am here today specifically to provide an update on the climate action policy that was passed by the Board of Directors back in June of 2020. My plan is to go goal by goal and show the progress that we've made so far. We have made some significant progress with being able to move on some initial new opportunities, and we're excited to share the approach that we've taken. We're also excited to talk about the fleet procurement plan, which will take us into the next phase of how we plan to meet the climate action policy by analyzing the fuels and technology that we have available to us and figuring out how we're going to continue to make significant progress to meet those goals over the next 15 years. And I'll end with just a few updates about the rest of our sustainability program, but I'm really excited to share the really good news. So if you take nothing else away from this presentation, I want you to just understand that the bottom line here is that so far LTD is on track to not only meet, but to exceed the climate action policy and fleet procurement goals that were passed by the Board of Directors. So I'm going to be explaining how we're planning on doing that, the significant progress that we've already made, and where we plan to go from here. I'm just going to show this briefly, and then we'll circle back to it at the end, because this is what the bulk of the presentation will involve today. But the goals that we have outlined in that climate action policy are here on the left, and you can see that each one has a green check mark by showing that we are on track and that we've actually made significant progress towards each of these. So we'll go through these one by one as I have a slide for each one, and then we'll end with this again at the end, and you guys can ask questions about any other details that you might have. So what I'd like to do first is to actually just review what is the climate action policy. Rob Zacho helpfully explained the first part of it. There's two components to the climate action policy. The first is a narrative component that is what Rob Zacho was just talking about, that we recognize the urgency in addressing climate change in this bold part in the middle, that we are taking steps to maximize public transit ridership and support low carbon active transportation modes. As Rob helpfully mentioned in his public comment, that if you do remember when I presented the results of our greenhouse gas inventory, that the number one thing LTD can do is offer ridership as an option for the community to reduce its greenhouse gas emissions. Now, it is really challenging to deal with this in the pandemic, and the state has imposed limits on the number of passengers we can carry on our buses right now, and ridership productivity is not a goal at this time. But as we come out of the pandemic, it will be important to reassure the public that initial studies right now that the American Public Transit Association are putting out show that there is so far not a direct correlation found between riding public transit and COVID transmission. So we hope to be able to kind of circle back to this goal and really address how we can increase ridership, because we know that there will be long-term health consequences if people switch, if large numbers of people switch from public transit into private vehicles. And so in the long term, related to both climate change and other health impacts. So we do, when it's safe, we do want to circle back to this part of the climate action policy. The second part of the policy really focuses on these three quantitative and qualitative goals. Goal one says that we will have 25 electric buses, battery electric buses, in our fleet within 3 years. And just as a frame of reference, our fleet is about 100 buses. Goal two said that in the next 15 years, that we would have the opportunity to have turned over 100% of our fleet, and that we would be able to, in that time, phase out fossil fuels during that 15-year time period. And in the next 10 years, we had said that the emissions from our fleet vehicles, our owned fleet vehicles, we would be able to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions by 75%. Goal three focuses on really diving into the emerging technology and fuels, developing joint community greenhouse gas reduction goals with our partner jurisdictions, and then making sure that there's an opportunity for accountability and revisions as we review our progress in goals annually. So that's what the policy says. I'd like to dive into where we are in each one of these goals so far. So goal number one, I want the bottom line here to just show that we are on track to not only meet but exceed this goal. We expect to have 30 buses by 2023, which is 5 more than the goal, obviously. We have purchased 11 battery electric buses, and we have we expect 19 additional battery electric buses to be purchased by 2023 for that total of 30. We also are in the process of seeking out other competitive funding, and we'll be applying for additional grant funds as we move forward. Goal two, I wanted to describe what we've done here because we did make a significant change to the type of fuel we use in our fleet vehicles. For our diesel buses, we have switched as of September of 2020. We switched from using the 5% biodiesel fuel mix that is sold in the state to renewable diesel. So we are now using an R99 renewable diesel product in our buses. And what this graphic here is showing is that, you know, looking at where our emissions picture is actually today is a little tricky because we've had a significant decline in ridership. We've changed the service that we've put out on the roads. So what we wanted to do to be able to really show the impact of this fuel switching is to go back and show what would our emissions have been in the baseline year, in fiscal year 2018, if we had been running this new fuel at that time. And that way, irrespective of any changes in service, we're able to see the impact in renewable percentage and greenhouse gas emissions from this change to renewable diesel. So renewable diesel is a drop-in fuel, and we were able to make that switch. And because of that, we are now at at least an 85% renewable fuel percentage. So if we had been running R99 in 2018, this is what our percent renewable fuel would have looked like at that time. All right, so we've made significant progress to this goal as well, and we are on track. The other piece that I want to mention here is just that this remainder, this 14% of the gasoline that's remaining, primarily comes from our paratransit fleet vehicles. And that is one that is maybe not as easy in just a few months to do a new drop-in fuel like the renewable diesel is available on the market today. There are fewer options of drop-in fuels in the paratransit vehicles today. That doesn't mean that there's not great options for investing in new technology and fuels in the longer term. So we are looking into that, and we don't expect problems with meeting this goal in the long term. We expect to meet it absolutely no problem. We've already made significant progress, but we do need to look into actual fuel and technology switching that takes a little bit more time. So goal 2B states that we will have a 75% reduction in our fleet greenhouse gas emissions. And so here is the set of results from our greenhouse gas inventory or carbon footprint analysis from 2018. And you can see that the overwhelming majority of our emissions that we have direct control over, these owned emissions, comes from our fleet vehicles. When we look at what that bar would have looked like, again, if we had been running renewable diesel in 2018, we can see that just simply by switching the fuels that we've already been able, or we would have been able to achieve that 89% reduction in greenhouse gas emissions from the switch in fuel at that time. And I do want to make a point here that as we move forward with the fleet procurement plan, the best practice in this area is to look at life cycle emissions associated with how we get our fuels. And so we will be looking at that full life cycle picture of the fuels when we decide on new fuel investments to select the lowest life cycle emissions options that are available to us that meet a set of triple bottom line criteria. So that brings us to goal 3A, which is that idea that we will be deliberately exploring options for technology and fuels. And that brings us to the project that we are really excited to get underway called the Fleet Procurement Plan Project. And the goals of that project are to further meet the goals of this climate action policy. We need to identify the technologies and the fuels that are going to be most appropriate for LTD, our specific context, our site, our buses, our service, and our location. And we need to outline what that path will be and go after the funding to make it happen and put it into place over the next 10 and 15 years to meet these goals. There will be two phases as part of this project. Phase one will be what we are calling a fatal flaw analysis. We will be looking at a variety of fuels and technologies, and we'll be evaluating those on a number of criteria that I'll talk about in just a moment, to figure out which ones will actually be able to move forward because they would make sense for LTD and allow us to meet the goals that we have outlined. Once we've identified which fuels could meet our goals, then we'll be able to look at what the scenarios will look like to put those together into a plan to replace our vehicles and actually outline which vehicles we'll be replacing when for what technology and what fuel. So that's what the fleet procurement plan will actually look like. And that will come in phase two. So the fuels and technologies that we're looking at as part of this project, we are looking at both our bus fleet as well as our paratransit fleet. We are looking at renewable biofuels. We're looking at hybrid technology. We're looking at renewable natural gas that comes from renewable sources, battery electric technology, hydrogen fuel cell technology, as well as how can we make sure that we're right-sizing the vehicles that we own for the services that they need to perform. When we look at the fatal flaw analysis, this phase one of the project to figure out which of the fuels I just was talking about would make sense for LTD and the criteria that we have, we looked at a narrow set of the most important criteria that must be there to be able to meet both our service obligations to the community as well as the goals outlined in this climate action policy. And those are the things that are included here. So at a first pass, we have to make sure that each of those fuels and technologies identify where they will fall in terms of these criteria, total cost of ownership, including financial incentives, from things like the Oregon Clean Fuels Program or any national programs that provide incentives. We have to understand the life cycle greenhouse gas emissions and the ability to reduce the fossil fuel component of our fuel picture. We have to understand the range for the vehicles to make sure that they can meet our service needs. We have physical space requirements at our own facilities. We have to understand what all of that means for disaster resiliency, and look at things like long-term fuel availability to make sure that the decisions that we're making will be able to be implemented over the long term for LTD. Once we do that, then we can look into, once we have identified those primary fuels that can move forward, then we can start looking at how they might be implemented and what that timeline will look like. I want to just mention that our we put a request for proposals out. We got some great responses back, and our evaluation committee has made a recommendation to the general manager to award a contract for consulting services to the consulting firm WSP. And that is the recommendation that Asia will be bringing to the contract committee on March 8th to do this work. In the we wanted to just say a note about timeline. We expect that this project will take about a year to complete through phases one and two, and we expect to be coming back to the ad hoc sustainability committee to give updates at the completion of phase one and at the completion of phase two. We also plan to have a panel of subject matter experts to be weighing in on the technical assumptions that will be included in this work, and we will be keeping the general public aware of our progress as well. So that is all about goal 3A, which is about exploring options. And then now we move into goal 3B, which specifically talks about partnering with our partner jurisdictions. I know this is small, small language on here. It might be hard to read. I apologize for that. What this is including is the exact language that comes out of the CAP 2.0 process as part of the City of Eugene's climate work. And so there were in that CAP 2.0 process, there were a number of goals that either were things that were being led by LTD or initiatives that LTD was a significant partner on. And so I put this in here just to tie it back to the fact that many of these goals were set before the pandemic, and many of them have been impacted by the impacts from the pandemic, but we are working hard to circle back with the city. We have these goals that we will be providing updates on, and we are working closely with our partner jurisdictions, including the city, but also other cities in the county as well, to work together with them to figure out how we can move forward on exploring goals related to climate change. The last goal here is goal 3C, and that was about providing regular progress reports. That's the purpose of this presentation, but I also want to just acknowledge that we do need to, we're at the point where we're going to be doing an update of our greenhouse gas inventory to include fiscal years 19 and 20. And so we will be coming back to you when that process is complete to share the results and see what the impact of changes that the pandemic has brought and other changes actually look like for our real emissions. So stay tuned for that. The last slide I have today is just to touch on the fact that while this is, meeting the climate action policy and fleet procurement goals is a major driver in a lot of my work, it's not all of the work that's being done related to sustainability at LTD. There are many other initiatives that are currently going on, a lot of them relating to certification programs and other programs that it's time to circle back on. We were a leader in many of these, and we intend to continue to show that leadership by continuing to commit to some of these voluntary commitments, things like the APTA Sustainability Commitment, Brings Rethink Certification Program. And we're also taking several initiatives. This graphic on this slide is just an example of the type of information that we're providing to decision makers at LTD to show how we can be reducing our consumption of things like paper and other office supplies to really address the broader impacts of our sustainability program. And then another large initiative, and I was pleased with Josh's comments at the beginning. It is February, Black History Month, but we are definitely moving forward with diversity, equity, and inclusion activities at LTD. I am a member of LTD's Diversity Council, and we're making significant, we've done a significant amount of work there, including looking at APTA's action plan on racial equity. So there's a significant connection between the diversity work and our sustainability program to bring in that social side of sustainability. So with that, I'll leave it there, and I'd love to take any questions that you might have. Here's again that set of criteria on here. Just in summary, goal one, we're on track to exceed that goal with 30 buses instead of the goal's level of 25 by 2023. Goal two, we are on track by switching to renewable diesel. We've experienced significant reductions in our, or a significant increase in our percent of renewable fuel that makes up our fleet. Goal 2B, we've experienced significant GHG reductions from that switch to renewable diesel, and we look to what else we can accomplish through that fleet procurement plan over the longer term. We are starting that fleet procurement plan process, which helps us with goal 3A, and we're on track to move forward with B and C. Goals 3B and goals 3C as well. So that's just in summary. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be here, and I look forward to your questions.
Thank you for that presentation, Kelly. It's very informative and hopeful, and it makes us feel good to be able to have a report like this. Thank you very much. When you were looking into the alternate fuels and stuff, was there anything standing out, anything that would indicate that one would be chosen over another? Or have you gone that far into the analysis?
You know, there are several very promising fuels and technologies, and I am very excited and optimistic that we will be able to meet the goals of the policy and exceed them. You know, figuring out exactly what the trade-offs will be for our location is always what's the trickiest, right? You can look at data that other transit agencies have done, you can look at what has worked in other locations, but looking at what specifically is going to work based on our electricity rates, based on our carbon intensity of fuels, based on our availability of fuels in a particular area and where we would have to source them from, looking at our specific range requirements and all of that. That's where, you know, doing an analysis for our specific location really comes in and is important so that we can understand what the trade-offs would be for our location. Because it's not as easy as saying, oh, well, that worked really well for transit agency X in this other location. We have to know how those local factors will impact the numbers for us. And, you know, there's lots of good options. I'm excited by all of the fuels that we have listed on the previous slide. And I think we can meet these goals with a number of those. And now it's just figuring out what makes the most sense and how we're gonna put the puzzle pieces together.
Thank you. Have any comments, Josh?
I do have a few. I'll do a few, and then if these start to jog other comments out of you, Don, please feel free to jump in. Just to reinforce what Kelly just said a moment ago, I think what I've seen in my consulting and my teaching and my research, that one of the biggest shifts that we're having to engage in transportation is not just thinking about new technologies, but realizing that we're going from an extremely small suite of technologies and fuels to maybe having more of a menu over time. And so that's actually, I think, part of the shift. It's kind of like going from the car to a menu of options that include walking, biking, transit, you know, other micromobility, not just biking. The same thing is true here. We're probably going to have different things in different parts of the country. And Kelly said that really well. So I was even surprised you gave as much of an answer as you did, Kelly. I thought you were going to say, wait for the report, because we will have a bunch of guidance from WSP. And I'm really excited about that. So that's just a sidebar really quickly. Kelly, this is such a good job. I'm so impressed and I'm so grateful that we have this. It will be exciting for us to report out with the full board about this. I'm sad you only have 2/3 of a committee to hear this today, but this is really great. And it's always good when part of fulfilling your obligation with a PowerPoint presentation is to refer to the PowerPoint presentation that you're giving. So like, I just want to reemphasize that piece about reporting. It is really important, an important mechanism of accountability and transparency to the community for us to be able to report these things. So this is really, it's really great work. And of course, amazing job keeping us on track with a whole bunch of green check marks. I feel like there should have been at least one big red X just so we don't get complacent, but maybe we'll work that in next time. Just a couple of quick things on the big stuff. Two other very specific points of praise. The first is thank you for doing a bunch of the greenhouse gas emissions math to account for the fact that we're in the pandemic. I know that's really weird. And so I think you've set it up really nicely. And so people realize, I mean, sometimes you have lower emissions because you're not doing as much. And so you've actually done a great job accounting for that. And also thank you for reporting those things. And I'll come to this more in a moment, but the partnering elements, I realized that was not just us, that's sort of us with other parts of the community. So thank you for bringing in those goals that have been sort of enshrined elsewhere. So a couple of quick things about the, let me start, and these just the very big ones. The ridership component. I really appreciate that you called out ridership as central to our climate goals and central to our climate performance. We're not going to be able to do anything as a transit agency unless we have people getting on transit. So this is a really big deal. I will make a slight amendment to the language you used. I believe you said ridership productivity is not a goal at this time. I would say ridership productivity is not the goal at this time. I would say it has become a secondary goal, especially during the hottest points of the pandemic. But it is still a goal. I'm not the only person who's brought this up at the board level. I don't want us to dismiss that. And I have also juxtaposed that with what you also said about safety and the fact that not just in the United States, but around the world, in places where people are doing the things that we are doing as a transit agency, we are not seeing public transit being a driver of the pandemic or even really implicated at all when people are sort of following rules and we're doing the right things. I have one other thing on the DLCD process, but Don, let me hand it back to you to see if you have any comments at this moment.
Well, I did have a question about a WSP. I'm unfamiliar with this organization. Can you give me a little background on who they are, where they come from, what do they specialize in?
Sure. They're a major, architecture, engineering, business consulting consultant. You might have heard of them before. I believe that they were previously called Persons Brinckerhoff and changed their name a few years ago. So if you've ever heard of that, LTD has worked with them extensively in the past, mostly on building some of our facilities. They were involved in helping us construct the Glenwood site and have been involved in many of our other construction projects. They have extensive experience in transit. The people that will be working on this particular project come from backgrounds and careers spent in transit. They also have extensive experience with evaluating fuels and doing the kinds of analysis that will be included in this project. So,
okay, I can look up more on the Google them later. Thank you. We were talking about partnering with, and you took the language from the City of Eugene's CAP 2.0. I'm right now feeling a little frustrated that I don't know what's going on with moving ahead and the City of Eugene's bike share program or any of that stuff. And that may be beyond what we're talking about today, but I wondered if you had any just knowledge about what's going on with coordinating with the City of Eugene and working on that program.
So I'll touch on the bike share just briefly to say that Andrew Martin had reached out and said that he's the one that is directly in relation and serving as staff to supporting the bike share program with the City of Eugene, and he'll be planning to come back at a future meeting and give you an update. He didn't have a specific update that he wanted to bring this month, but he plans to come back and be able to give you more information as they move forward with the initiatives that they're working on there. Adria, do you want to say anything about moving ahead? I'm not directly involved with that.
We have monthly meetings with the City of Eugene to discuss the multiple partnership projects. And so we are meeting about bike share and we are meeting about moving ahead. We don't have a specific update today, but what I will say is that there has been various communication between our team and the city's team, and we're trying to coordinate a joint meeting. We're aiming for April. We're having a challenge trying to find a time in which the dates align well to have a joint meeting with the City of Eugene on moving ahead. So know that that is in the making. And I don't believe that we have found the exact date, but I am coordinating with the board president to try to see which date is feasible that we can get that going. So know that that is coming and the City of Eugene is anxious to get that project back up and running. So that's good news.
Is there anything happening with Springfield?
Springfield, we do have in Springfield, our communication with them is very much still related with the safety project on Main Street. And I believe they are planning to come to the SPC meeting in March to provide an update about what's going on with that project. And it's still related to the safety project. We're not yet ready to resume the transit study at this point. So that's why we thought it'd be timely to bring something first to SPC and then at a future date to the board as well. So know that those are all coming forward as we are moving out of the pandemic. I believe we are all anxious to start getting back into the good work for the community. So we're working on it.
Thank you, AJ. Any further discussion?
Yeah, Don, just a couple of things. I mean, just as foreshadowing, when we wrap up this topic before we close the meeting, I do want to talk about getting bike share on our next agenda, our next meeting. But a couple things. So Don, you'll remember, and I think everyone will remember, I'm on this Department of Land Conservation and Development Rulemaking Advisory Committee for the Climate Friendly and Equitable Communities Rulemaking. I guess I don't want to let this conversation slip by because Kelly nicely summarized or presented the various items that represent sort of community level goals, at least for, you know, the ones at the intersection of Eugene and LTD. And I would, although that rulemaking process is still playing out, who knows exactly what the outputs will look like. I guess the way I would like people to start thinking about it, I would encourage everyone to start thinking about it as the rules that will guide, what's expected of the whole metropolitan area. We will undoubtedly have some of the modeling just as we, very similar to what was done back in 2015, thinking of the ways in which we can change the transportation system and the patterns of land use to get lower greenhouse gas emissions from transportation. So that'll obviously involve transit, and many of the things that Kelly listed up there were in that category, but they're still pretty qualitative. And so part of this rulemaking process, I predict, will be a push for much more specific quantitative goals, still some flexibility in how a given community achieves those goals. You could have more or less biking and more or less transit and more or less other, transportation options programming. But the point is you'll have to actually set something up that, a bunch of options that together achieve a particular greenhouse gas emissions reduction goal for the community. So that's something I think to look ahead to. And probably this committee is the place for us to wrestle with this on behalf of the board and then sort of bring something to the board from there. But I think it will also show up at the MPC. The only other piece of that, AJ, did you have a comment?
I did. I wanted to just... Yeah, sure. And before you moved on from that topic is, Kelly provided you, today's update is to let you know what we are doing to meet the board's directive for a sustainability climate action. BikeShare plays an important role on that, and I said we're in regular meetings with the city on that matter, but that is really not our primary focus. For us to really be able to stay on target, on track, as Kelly has checked off here, we really want to target those areas that the board has requested that we target. And we were hoping that as part of, or our plan has been that as part of our upcoming process to relook at our system collectively through a comprehensive analysis of what our system will look like post-pandemic, we can then find a place for how bike share, other micromobility, mobility on demand, and the various mobility options available to our community or that we can bring into our community will all play a big role. And so I just wanted to make sure that any update that we bring is our working information. It really is not anything that this committee nor the board we are recommending any action. We don't have any actionable items over the next maybe 3 to 5 months. We are really just focused on the board's directive as part of their climate action policy statement and as part of my general manager goals that go through June 30th. So I just wanted to make sure that you knew what my energy was being focused on for the staff. But we are having a lot of bike share conversations. Andrew is our lead, but we also have others on that conversation, such as Mark Johnson, and through government relations, Tiffany Edwards. So those conversations are just ongoing. So there's not a lot actionable at this point for us, but we do think that there's an opportunity in the near future. So I just wanted to set expectations about the work that staff is doing on that. Because just because we are gearing up towards conversations about moving ahead and Main Street with both cities. So there's a lot happening and we're excited about it, but I didn't want this committee today to have an unrealistic expectation about what's happening behind the scenes.
Thank you for that interjection, AJ. I don't totally understand it. Maybe just clarify one thing. You said something was not our primary focus, but I didn't get what that was.
Bike share is not our primary focus. It is just one of many topics that are part of our monthly meetings with the city of Eugene. And we don't have anything or foresee anything actionable on our part over the next few months. Our focus has been at the board directive in meeting what Kelly presented today. And that's why we're so excited for Kelly to be able to present that the district is on target to support the board's direction as it was given at the June 2020 board meeting. And then once again, as part of my general manager goals at the December 2020 board meeting. So that's what we're working on. So I just wanted to make sure you knew where staff's time was primarily focused on.
That's helpful. Let me finish up talking about the material that Kelly has presented, and then maybe we can circle back in a moment and talk about when bike share can reappear on this as an agenda item for this committee. But thank you for that clarification. So the only other piece I wanted to mention that has surfaced in the DLCD Climate Friendly and Equitable Communities rulemaking discussions is something that I think connects really directly with the city's goals, and that is the question of funding. So it is possible to set goals for ambitious levels of transit ridership, but then not have a system that could actually deliver that because we don't have a total funding level that would support that level of service. And so I think one of the things that will show up as a result of that process is like more vigorous discussions at the state level. And people will basically be told, hey, the legislature needs to, well, I shouldn't say people will be told. I think the messages will be either the legislature needs to provide more funding for transit and other transportation options, or cities, MPOs, metropolitan areas need to provide more funding themselves, or a combination of the two. And so I would just say, I think a lot of this will, the rubber will meet the road at funding for a lot of these things, because to achieve the kinds of goals, and Kelly, I don't know if you can put those back up just really briefly, the slide that has the snippets from the CAP 2.0 work from last year. But if you look at those things, the places where it's somewhat specific, actually even just the places where it's vague, I mean, that too, it will require more funding to achieve these things, right? If we're really going to advance these things, we will need to get the funding somewhere for a bunch of these programs. And that's true. I mean, every bold-faced item on that page requires some funding, not all of which we have a clear path toward. So I just want to foreshadow that discussion as well. And then the very last thing, and then Donald, hand this back. We didn't have too much time to talk about it at the board meeting, but in the contract committee, which I now realize that was my last meeting, we approved the Gyro contract for updating our software for scheduling, so basically have additional functionality. Robin and Wendy did a great presentation. I'm trying to remember if there are other people. Did Kalina present there too? I'm trying to remember, but there were, it was very clear that we'll have additional software functionality that might be able to inform, scenarios that we have at our disposal, like different service offerings. So I wanted to mention that because I think that will ultimately relate to this ridership question that Kelly raised as well. So sorry for the long response. Josh,
could you circle back just to what you just said about that? I just want to go understand what you were referring to.
Sure. I'll say a little more. And then I do see Robin. I don't know, Robin, if you're available, but feel free to rescue me here if you want. But I'm happy to forge ahead for the moment. We have this software that helps us do a bid, right? Like to do a whole set of scheduling for to figure out drivers and routes and buses. And
this is with LCDC.
No. This is just inside of LTD. This is okay. Just inside of LTD.
All right. All right.
And so we just approved at the contract committee and then approved at last week's board meeting an upgrade to the software. Yeah. That gives us some additional functionality, allows us to incorporate the electric buses that we now will now have in the fleet. And that also has, as I understand it, some additional functionality to allow us to look at some different scenarios. And as we move our focus back toward ridership and getting people on buses, as we, more fully handle the public health concerns that have dominated things lately, we will be able to, I think, ask more detailed questions with this software and have more kind of scenarios at our disposal for the kind of service we would offer. I call that out here because I think that's essential for figuring out how we do, how we get more boardings, right? Like how do we actually serve more total transportation need. So I didn't want that to slip by as well.
Yeah, it's part of our communication stuff. Appreciate that. Let's see. I understand AJ's position, and I think this presentation today is excellent. It's what we asked you to do, and it's accomplishing the mission. So this, I'm in favor of this. I just want to kind of add a little bit or support Josh's position a bit that, the city of Eugene is still looking at what their bike share program's like, but we're going to have to integrate with that. And it seems like this discussion should, we get this information after a lot of discussions already happened. And so then we get to vote yes or no. But I just like to kind of keep abreast of what are the opportunities are. I've done a lot of just attending webinars and looking at different things in the last couple of months. And it seems like there's a lot of activity going on in the nation, all over the world, of course, but in the nation. And there's a half a dozen programs that look like, if we could integrate the sort of stuff that they're doing, I mentioned to you the one in Boise, but I mean, there were half a dozen others. I just picked that one because it was a metropolitan area about the same size and all that, and not a suburb of a much larger place. So it just seems like investigating these things would be part of some committee or some subcommittee of LTD at some point. Maybe it's not appropriate for this one right now. And, I don't want to drag out the whole day and stuff about talking about things that aren't part of this mission, but I still want to call out the need for the community to establish places like, land use places where the buses and the micromobility can interact, and all of this discussion has to happen. I don't know whether we get something just dictated to us by the city, or do we participate in this and make this decision together? So I just want to, kind of just follow on what Josh had said earlier about that, but this is not to take back from what Kelly has accomplished here and what AJ has accomplished in presenting what we asked you to do. And congratulations for that. And we're happy about that. It's just like it never ends. There's always a better thing we can do. And we've got to keep a vision of that. And that's what Lane ACT has been doing. I've attended several of those meetings. We're trying to set vision statements and all of that. And all of these comments from the other agencies, there's a lot of connectivity. There's a lot of shared vision, and it includes having LTD be a major partner to this community and participating with all of the other transportation options. So I have nothing further to do here. If we have anything more to do, we can adjourn this meeting.
Well, let's not adjourn just yet. One thing that you just made me think of, Don, by talking about Lane Act, I just realized, and Kelly, maybe you want to comment on this. I realized that our board level policy is vague about community partners. It's sort of, I guess, by implication, all encompassing, but the specific progress we've made so far is really focused on the city of Eugene, I believe. Is that a fair way to say it? I mean, that it's sort of the goals that we were looking at there are really specific to the intersection of Eugene and LTD.
I mean, I would say no. We are reaching out to all of our partners. We have a multi-pronged approach to reaching out in lots of different areas. And I didn't go through all of those initiatives or where we are making connections or partnering in today's presentation. I just used the formal goals that were included in a written document as an example of one type of partnering that we've done with the city of Eugene. But that's by no means the only type of partnering that we've been doing. There have been a lot of other conversations, initiatives, work that LTD has been involved in, committees that we sit on, work that we're having multiple staff members evaluate and participate in and get feedback on in lots of different areas. And both, with both cities, the county, as well as these other types of jurisdictional partners with community partners and U of O and LCC and other big members like the folks that participate in the Eugene Climate Collaborative, the big partners that are also responsible for significant emissions in our community. So we are having partnership conversations in all of those areas. I didn't go through a comprehensive list of all of that today.
Okay, that's fantastic to hear. Maybe that green check mark was deserved after all. I shouldn't have been so negative. That sounds great. I would just suggest then, Don, that we cover that at a future meeting, given that you're on the Lane Act and I will soon be on the MPC. I think it'll be really helpful for us to have that clearer picture of the sort of community-wide collaboration that the city's doing so we can represent that more fully at the policy level. I think Kelly just referred to some things that I don't obviously know about, so it would be helpful for me, but I think that can wait for a subsequent meeting.
Okay, any further discussion or comments?
Piling on
one more.
I'm just trying to handle these one at a time, but the other is it sounds like you agree as well. I would like to bring the bike share topic back next time. I completely understand what you said, AJ. I realize you don't have a goal specific to bike share at the moment, through the end of this fiscal year, and that we also don't have that as an explicit part of our climate policy, though I think in many ways it's sort of implied. But I think on behalf of the board, I would like a chance to sort of hear a little more of an update. I actually was surprised that it was not on this agenda. I sort of thought from our previous discussion that Andrew Martin had said that there were some low-cost, no-cost options that we could at least talk about. I would, although I completely agree with you that that system is owned and managed by the city, I would prefer not to wait until, we only meet once a month at best, and I would prefer not to wait to have some of the deliberations about the things that we could do. So at least this committee can start understanding and processing the various menu items that we might have with respect to bike share.
And I just want to be very clear, just because it's not part of the goals we're working on doesn't mean it's not important. It is one of the topics that we are regularly in discussion. Just this morning, we had a 7:30 meeting to discuss matters of actually bike share. So know that this is a topic that's ongoing. My point was, and I think Kelly also mentioned, that Andrew Martin did not have an update at this point. And I didn't expect that we would have an actionable item for this committee to be able to make a recommendation to the board of directors. And that's why I was indicating that although we are working on it on a monthly basis through various communications, not just one meeting, but various communications, I wanted to make sure I set the expectation for this committee that we didn't see anything actionable for several months on that. And so the update would just be an update. It's not going to be a lot that this committee has, only because we're not at that point yet. But we do see that conversation evolving further. And I think we were talking this morning, it might be somewhere in the summer months. Maybe at Andrew's update, he can provide a timeline in which this committee can see something actionable at that point. But I just wanted to make sure that if this committee had an expectation, that was not something that we had for the next couple of months. It is just an ongoing conversation that we'll continue to work through until we feel comfortable that we have enough that we would make a recommendation to the board of directors about a partnership.
So do you know offhand if the contractor has been selected by the city?
I know that that has taken place.
Okay, well, I think we should at least have an informational item in our next meeting, because I know that that the different contractors that bid on that work with the city for managing the bike share system represented kind of different potential paths forward. Even if we will not have a clear action item, Don, it would be my recommendation that we at least sort of get an update by the time we get into, a meeting of this committee in March. There will probably be enough for us to share and deliberate about, and it'd be a good thing for the new committee member as well to hear about. So that would be my recommendation, Don.
Yeah, I'm very curious about who they selected as well.
We were planning, I believe Camille had the next meeting scheduled for April, only because the same planning staff that's working on all this is also the same team that's switching the hats and working on the strategic business plan, as you guys might recall. That is another important item of interest, and the board received a work session, and we will be bringing information before SPC and the March board meeting. So I'm allowing the teams the opportunity to bring quality work before the board of directors. So we were hoping to have a future sustainability update, and given, of course, Kelly's great news today about all green check marks on track and exceeding goal for the first short-term goal, that would allow staff adequate time at the April meeting for Andrew to really provide the level of focus that's necessary for the work he wants to bring before you. So just wanted to make sure that you knew that we did not have a March meeting planned.
That's helpful to hear, AJ. I didn't know that. I guess that's really more for us to decide, and I defer to Don on that. That's really, it's up to you, Don, whatever you think is appropriate based on your meetings with exec staff, I'm obviously fine with. I'll stand by to hear more when we can.
Perfect, thank you. We would not be ready in March. If we have a meeting, we would not be ready, only because of staff's tight deadlines.
That makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, thank you.
I just want to add another little bit of irritation for you on non-actionable items that would not be doing anything. But I just remember hearing a report from the city of Portland about resiliency and what they experienced with their ice storm and the power being down and all of that. And it just reckoned back to what I had suggested years ago, that we should have some solar panels put up for some resiliency in the case of an emergency. Now, I know we're not doing anything about that. We're not budgeting anything, and we're putting any time into it right now. But at some point, I'll find an appropriate time to bring that concern back.
Don, I really appreciate that. And I bet Kelly is flipping back to the criteria. I really appreciated that resiliency showed up in the criteria that you listed as sort of framing the work by the consultants, Kelly. I don't know if you want to say more about that.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that, you know, in our initial RFP that we put out, we had a really broad list of a wide range of triple bottom line criteria. And as we needed to rein in the scope to be able to get through the fatal flaw analysis, that to then be able to go into that broader level of triple bottom line criteria, we really thought about what are the most crucial criteria that need to be evaluated on the first pass for all the technologies and tools to find out if they would actually be something good that would be worth the investment of time and resources to do the deeper dive on the analysis. And so disaster resiliency absolutely needs to be there, and figuring out what kinds of opportunities there are for integration of multiple technologies. You know, we've lived so long. We hear all the time about don't put all your eggs in one basket, but we've lived so long with all of our eggs in one basket with, you know, just fossil fuels, that it's really exciting to be able to look at the possibilities of multiple fuels that are renewable and cleaner, and how they interact to be able to provide some of this resiliency over time, and to do that in the most cost-effective and opportunistic way is really going to be part of what this project is about. So we do plan to bring that, and you'll hear more about that as we move forward.
Okay, are we done now?
I'm good.
If finished at this point, I'll adjourn this meeting at 3:01 p.m.
Great job, Kelly. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you all. Yes, it's a team effort. Kelly. So thanks for everybody that's working hard with me.
Great job, Kelly. Thanks.
All right.